John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that passage, and there are many others, show that no one can be saved except through Jesus. Salvation is narrow, first of all, in the sense that we can only be saved through Jesus. But sometimes people wonder, well, is there more than one way to be saved through Jesus? Okay, if it's only through Jesus, maybe there's different ways to be saved through Him. I remember some time ago I was studying with a man, and he specifically asked me that question because we discussed a number of things about the Bible says about what to do to be saved. And he said, well, is there another way? Or are there other ways that people can be saved besides what we had seen in those scriptures? Maybe, for example, some people need to be baptized or are baptized to be saved, but other people, maybe they just believe without being baptized, and maybe yet God will accept them both. Maybe some people are members of a church. Other people are not members of a church, and maybe God will accept them both. And so on. We could talk about a number of different areas with the same kind of question. And of course, the ultimate goal of why people ask that question is because they would like to see people be justified who have different faiths, members of different denominations and so on, so there's different ways, if there was different ways, to please God and be saved, then it wouldn't matter. And so we have people sometimes say we're all going to the same place just by different roads. And the idea then is that there's different ways you have to be saved through Jesus, but there's maybe different ways to be saved through Him. As long as people are sincere, then it wouldn't matter. So what I want to do in our study together this morning is I want us to spend some time talking about this idea of whether or not we all need to follow the same road in order to be saved through Jesus. Now notice as we look at some scriptures together this morning, we'll talk about a number of different aspects of salvation, a number of different things the Bible says about salvation. As we do, don't just look at what it says to do, look at who it says should do it. Look at the expressions in the verses for who needs to do the things that we're talking about. Is it just certain people or is it everybody? Do all people need to do the things we're talking about so that it's the same for everybody? Is it different for different people or is it the same for all people? That's what we want to look at as we look at these verses together. So the first thing I want to talk about is the death of Jesus. We all need to be saved through Jesus. That's what John 14 and verse 6 said. But what about Jesus' death? Well, John 3 verse 16, Harlan already quoted it for us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The death of Jesus is God's way of saving whoever believes. Well, that whoever, that's everybody then, right? God so loved the world. It's not just that some people can be saved by believing and other people be saved without believing. But Jesus, or rather in Jesus' death, I mean, that Jesus' death is for the whole world. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6. Talking about Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So Jesus' death on the cross is a ransom for all. Everybody, if he wants to be saved, needs to be saved through the ransom of Jesus. Or Hebrews 2 and verse 9, by the grace of God he tasted death for everybody. So Jesus' sacrifice is not just for some people, his sacrifice is for all people. And then 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, he died for all. So if we understand and agree that the only way to be saved is through Jesus, then we also need to understand that the only way to be saved is through Jesus' death. He's the Savior. He's the one who offers salvation, but he offers that salvation by means of his sacrifice on the cross. And I think most people would probably acknowledge that if they claim to believe in Jesus, they would acknowledge that it's through his death that he saves people. But then the question is, then, well, how do we receive forgiveness through the death? Could it be that there's more than one way to be saved by Jesus' death? If we agree we all need to be saved through Jesus, and that means we all need to be saved through his death, is there more than one way to receive the benefits of his death? So, let's look further and look at some other conditions the Bible talks about. The Bible also talks about the gospel in connection with our salvation. Look at Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So does the gospel of God is the power of salvation for everyone, Jew or Greek. It's not for certain people and different for other people. There's not more than one gospel or different means for different people. The gospel is for everybody, Jew or Greek. And so Jesus said in Mark 16 and verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. So everybody in the whole world needs to hear the gospel. It's not one gospel for one person and a different gospel for somebody else. It's the same gospel for all. And the gospel, of course, is the message that teaches us about Jesus and about Jesus' death. And so Galatians 1 and verse 8 and 9 says, if anyone preaches unto you any other gospel than what we have preached, let him be accursed. So not only do we have passages saying that everybody needs to be taught the gospel, we are furthermore taught that there's only one true gospel and we must not preach it differently, must not tamper with it, must not change it. It's the same for all. And of course that gospel is revealed to us in the scriptures, the Word of God, the New Testament. So we have here the message that teaches us about Jesus and about His death. That message, that gospel is the same for all. We must not change it. And so far we see that it's the same for everybody. You have to be saved through Jesus, saved through His death, saved through the gospel, which is the message of His death. But what does the gospel say? Could it be that the gospel says that there's one way to be saved for some people and a different way for other people? We know it has to be through the gospel of the death of Jesus, but is there different ways? What does the Bible gospel say about it? Well, the gospel says that we need to hear or learn the message that's taught us in the gospel of the Word of God. Look in John chapter 6, verses 44 and 45. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. So the gospel is the message that tells us about Jesus and about his death. But Jesus said, you can't come to me unless you're drawn by being taught by the Father. You have to hear and learn this message of Jesus, which of course is the gospel. And nobody can come any other way. So you see that it is the same. To this point we've seen everything's the same. It has to be the same for everybody. Everyone has to hear and learn from the Father. And so we all must come to Jesus by being taught the gospel. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 16 and 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now he said that everybody needs the gospel. He said the gospel must be taught to everybody. Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So the gospel is the power of God to salvation. It's the message about salvation through the death of Jesus Christ. But everybody needs to learn that. You can't be saved if you don't. The fact that the gospel is there doesn't help us unless we learn it. So everybody, to this point, it's the same for all. We all need to learn that message of the gospel, of the death of Jesus Christ and who Jesus is, in order to be saved. Well, when we hear and learn that message of the gospel, what does it say? Does that message that we learn teach different things to different people, or the same for all? So let's go on. The gospel also talks about faith. Remember Romans 1 and verse 16, the gospel is the power of God and salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So now, we not only see that the gospel is for everybody, but everybody has to believe the gospel. The gospel is the message of Jesus, salvation through his death. We all have to learn it, but now we all have to believe it. It's the salvation for everybody who believes. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So all of these passages are showing that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what teaches us. We have to learn it, but we also need to believe it. Look at Mark 16:15 and 16. We have referred to it a couple of times. Let me read it. Mark 16 and verse 15 and 16. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. All right, everybody needs to learn the message. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. So everybody needs to learn the gospel, and then everybody needs to believe it. It's not that some people can be saved believing, and other people be saved without believing. Everybody needs to believe, and those who do not believe will be condemned. And that's why Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Everybody needs to believe it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. And we'll see, in fact, that there's only one faith. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 6. Describing the unity that God wants His people to have, beginning in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. He says, and one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So just as there's only one God and one Lord Jesus Christ, we all need to believe in that Lord, and there's only one faith. It's not that there's many different faiths and many different ways to believe in Jesus and follow Him. We must all believe one faith. So Jesus is the one who saves. He's the one who saves all people. We learn about Him through the gospel, but we must then believe the gospel, and what the gospel says is the same for everybody. One faith. And if you don't believe, you die in your sins. And so again, we see it's the same for everybody. Now, many people would agree that we can only be saved through Jesus. And as we begin to be more specific, you can only be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus. There are a lot of people who believe that. But as we go along, we find fewer and fewer people who believe some of the things we're talking about. Some people think, well, what about Hindus or Muslims or such folks? They don't believe in Jesus, at least not the way the Bible says. Can they still be saved? Well, the Bible says, if you do not believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. So you see, not only is it specific in regard to that it's Jesus that saves, it becomes more and more narrow as to what we need to do to respond to Jesus. We must learn about Him and we must believe. And those who do not believe will stand condemned, the Bible says. And so we begin to see that the way to salvation is narrow. It's not just anybody. Jesus doesn't save just everyone. His death does not apply to just everyone. There's things we need to do to respond. And so far, they're the same for everybody. Well, let's look further. What about repentance? This gospel that we all need to learn also tells us to repent. Repentance is a change of mind. That is, it's a decision in which we learn that we have been wrong, we have disobeyed God, we repent of our sins, and we change our minds, make up our mind to serve God. Now that's repentance. What does the gospel say about repentance? Well, in Acts 17 and verse 30, we're told that God commands all men everywhere to repent. So repentance is for everybody too, you see. Just as hearing and believing the gospel is expected of everybody, repentance is also expected of everybody. It's the same for all. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So again, everybody needs to repent, because if we don't, we're going to perish. Just like we all need to believe, otherwise they die in their sins, all need to repent, otherwise they perish. And so look at Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Now Peter was preaching to these thousands of Jews on the day of Pentecost. How many of them needed to do what he said? He said, every one of you. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. But that's not the end of it. He said, the promise is to you and your children, future generations, all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. But we're called through the teaching of that gospel that we were talking about, you see. So when people hear and believe that gospel, they learn then that they need to repent. And that's true of everybody. Whoever hears the gospel message, it's going to be the same for all need to repent, because that's the message of the gospel. And so repentance is another universal requirement of the gospel. Just as everybody needs to believe and learn the gospel, everybody needs to repent of their sins. Otherwise, they will perish. And so, as we see, it's the same for everybody, but it becomes more specific. There are some folks who believe, but are not willing to repent. They're not willing to change. The gospel requires everybody to repent in order to be saved. And so you not only must learn about Jesus and believe, you must be willing to repent. Well, to this point, often people will follow and say, well, okay, I can accept that. I can believe that that's required. And everybody needs to do all needs to do that to that point. But then again, that's not the end of it. There's more, and we'll see as we go, that again, it's required of everybody. Obedience, doing what God said, is also required of all. Hebrews 5 and verse 9. Notice with me Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 9, where the scripture tells us about Jesus' death on the cross, and what he learned as a result in verse 8. But then verse 9 says, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9 says, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So obedience is also necessary in order to be saved. Yes, we must learn the gospel and believe it. Repent, but remember, repentance is a decision to turn away from sin and do the will of God. Repenting is a decision to obey, then we must follow through and obey. Do what God said, and that's required of all. Jesus, the author of eternal salvation, to all who obey. It's the same for everybody. Everybody has to do that. In Matthew 7, and verse 24 to 27, Jesus taught about two different men who built houses. And the application of it was, they said, whoever hears his saying and does them is like a man whose house will not fall. But everyone who does not do what he says, their spiritual house will fall. It's built on the sand. But you see, that applies to everybody, he says. It's the same for all. Everybody has to do what Jesus said, not just learn it, or even believe it, or even just decide to do it. Everybody has to follow through and do it. They have to be obedient. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10, and verse 34 and 35. Now Peter is here preaching to Gentiles. The Jews had the idea that there were different rules for Jews and Gentiles because it was different under the Old Testament. It wasn't the same for Jews and Gentiles then. But under the gospel, the Jews thought it was going to be different still. But Peter has been taught by the Lord, and he goes to teach Cornelius, a Gentile. In verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So it's the same for Jew and Gentile. It's not different. There's not one set of rules for Jews and a different set of rules for people of other nations. No matter what nation you are, it's the same for everybody. The passage says, in every nation, we must fear him and work righteousness. Do what he says. And that's why in the script reading this morning, in Romans chapter 2, and in verse 6 through 11, we're told how that God is going to judge each one according to his deeds. And then it emphasizes again and again that everybody has to do what God said. Eternal life is for those who do what is good. Everyone who works what is good, it said, Jew or Greek, they receive eternal life. But indignation and wrath, the passage said, are for those who do not obey the truth. Every soul of man who does evil, again, Jew or Greek. You see, it's the same. Everybody has to obey. All those who want to be saved, no matter what nationality you are, you all have to obey the gospel, the teachings of Jesus. And if you don't obey, everybody, no matter who it is, everybody will receive tribulation and anguish. And so the rules are the same, you see. Everybody has to learn about Jesus, believe it. Everybody has to repent, everybody has to obey. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8 and 9, we're told then that if we don't obey, Jesus will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so contrary to what some think, no one can be saved without obedience. It simply isn't true that yes, some people obey and they're saved, but other people can be saved without obeying. That's not what the Bible says. Here's another universal. Everybody must be obedient to be saved. That one gospel that requires all to learn the gospel and believe it requires them also to repent and be obedient. And so you see the path is more and more, in a sense, narrow in the sense that we're seeing requirements that everybody must obey in order to receive the blessings of the gospel of Christ. Well, we're not done. One of the things the the gospel says we must do in order to obey is we must confess Christ with our mouth. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, whoever confesses me before men, Jesus said, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. But notice it's whoever. It isn't just that some people need to confess and other people can be saved even though they don't confess. Whoever confesses Jesus will be confessed before the Father. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Do you want to have fellowship with God? You must confess. It applies to everybody. There are some folks who believe but won't confess. John 12 talked about that, some of them. But those folks who believe and won't confess are not among those who will be saved. They must be willing to confess. And that's why Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's for everybody, you see. Everybody. The rules are the same. Here's another universal. That gospel that we all must learn and believe teaches us to repent and obey. That obedience includes confession. Being willing to say that we recognize who Jesus is, we recognize him as our Lord, as the Christ, the Son of God, and so on. Now notice that, again, a lot of people would still agree to this point. They would say, well, okay, you know, the Bible says that, and so we need to do that. We need to confess with our mouth. But understand, confessing with your mouth is an outward act of obedience. You are doing something when you confess Christ with your mouth. Many of the folks say, oh yeah, you need to confess Christ, would deny that you need to obey. If you say, well, you need to obey Christ to be saved. Oh no, you don't need to. You need to confess. Oh yeah, you need to confess. Well, wait a minute. Confession is an act of obedience. If you don't need to confess, if you don't need to obey the gospel, then you don't need to confess, because confession is an act of obedience. But if you understand that you need to confess Christ to be saved, then you're recognizing that you need to obey, because confession is a form of obedience. So that gospel then, that we all need to learn and believe, says we all need to confess Christ. But now as we continue on, and it becomes even more specific, what about baptism? Well, here's another condition of the gospel. And yet many people will tell us, oh no, you don't need to do that one. That's okay. If you want to do that, that's okay. But it's not necessary. You can be saved by doing it. You can be saved without doing it. And a lot of folks will follow up to this point and say, yeah, you need to do that. But you don't need to do this one. And so everything up to this point, some folks will say, yes, that needs to be, but this is sort of optional. It's not the same for everybody on this one. But why not? We read Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That gospel that is to be taught into every creature in all the world, saying that whoever wants salvation must believe, says whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The same gospel, remember we all need to hear the gospel, and there's only one faith, Ephesians 4 said, that one faith that all must believe, says he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Well, look at John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. John chapter 3, verse 3 and verse 5. Jesus said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then down to verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. How many people need to be born of the water and the Spirit? However many want to enter the kingdom of God. You see, it's the same for everybody. If you want to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Now, the Spirit refers to the teaching of the gospel that we've been talking about. The Holy Spirit revealed the message of the gospel. But what is the water? There's only one command in all of the New Testament that requires water, and that's baptism. Without baptism, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's why Mark 16, 15 and 16 said that the gospel says whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Again, we read Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Where Peter said, repent, that every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. How many people need to be baptized for the remission of sins? Everyone. It's not that some should be baptized for remission of sins and other people receive remission of sins without baptism. Every one of you be baptized for remission of sins. And that, then he goes on, remember verse 39, and says, for the promises to you and your children, all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Everybody needs to be baptized. Everybody who is called by the gospel, the same gospel that teaches Jews to be baptized, be saved, teaches Gentiles to be baptized, teaches me, teaches you. It's the same for everybody, because that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. And so people who need remission of sins must not only repent, they must also be baptized. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And again, notice the universals, how broad these statements are in their application. Verse 3, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now notice how many people have come into contact with Jesus' death. We began by pointing out that everybody needs Jesus' death. The salvation that Jesus offers for everybody is through the death of Jesus. How do we reach the death? Well, obviously we need to believe and repent and all these things we've been talking about. But specifically, verse 3 said, don't you know that as many as you were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So are some people saved being baptized and other people saved without baptism? How many people come into Christ's death? How many people come into Christ? As many as are baptized into him. That's how many. Don't you know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? And then the verse 4 says, those are the ones who walk in newness of life. That ties back to John 3 because that's talking about being born again. You see, you have a new life. You're born again when you've been baptized. So just like we've said in John chapter 3, the water there in John 3, you can't enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. It must be baptism, because when you're baptized, that's when you walk in newness of life. But who is that for? As many as want the death of Jesus. All who want to come in contact with the death of Jesus must be baptized. When we've been baptized, then we receive the benefit of Jesus' death. Well, now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Excuse me, 26 and 27. Chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. See the universals? How many are children of God? All who through faith are baptized into Christ. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put him on. Now, if we understand and believe that we can only be saved through Christ, we must have fellowship, we must come into Christ, we must have a relationship with Christ to be saved. How many people have that? As many as have been baptized into Christ. That's how many have put him on. That's what the scriptures say about it. We come into Christ by faith when we're baptized. The number of those in Christ is the same as the number of those who have been baptized. Scripturally baptized, of course. And by the way, did you notice in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 that baptism is an immersion? We are buried with him in baptism. And it must be done for the remission of sins. That is for that purpose, Acts chapter 2 and verse 13. So contrary to what many people think, baptism is another universal requirement for salvation. Just like learning that gospel and believing it, repenting and obeying in confession, the one gospel requires that we must all likewise be baptized into Christ, that is immersed for the purpose of receiving forgiveness of sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. So have we done that? Have we truly believed? Have we truly repented and confessed Christ and been baptized? But that's not all. What about membership in Jesus' church? Now, since baptism puts one in the church, some people say, well, baptism is not necessary to salvation. So, of course, they say church membership is not necessary. Baptism puts you in the church. You don't have to be baptized. You can be saved without that. You don't have to be in the church then. You can be saved without that. Now, when they say that, they're usually talking about a denomination. But what is the gospel, that one gospel that we need to hear and learn and believe, what does it say about being a member of Jesus' church? Well, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said that he would build his church. He promised to build it. Now, notice he said his church. He didn't say hundreds or thousands of churches. He said, I will build my church. Singular. Jesus has a church. It's not a denomination. It's not a part of any other group. It is his church. Now in Acts 2 and verse 47, we're told the Lord adds to the church daily those who are being saved. Now look then at the connection. All the saved are in the church because Jesus puts them all in the church. To be saved is to become part of the church. So how can you be saved outside the church? See the connection? Just as surely as everybody needs to be saved, that's how many people need to be in the church. Because the Lord adds the saved to the church. It's the same for all. Everybody needs to be in Jesus' church. If you want salvation to Christ, you need to be in Jesus' church. And Acts 20, verse 28, Jesus purchased the church with his blood. Well, we've already learned it's Jesus' death, it's his blood that we all need to save us. But who is it that's been purchased by that blood? It's the church. So if the church was purchased with Jesus' blood, how could we be saved outside the church? How can you be saved by the blood of Jesus outside the church if he purchased the church with his blood? Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. And let's notice a couple of specific verses that kind of tie together what we've been saying. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church, in that context, you see, is the body. Christ is the head, and the church is like his body. We're like the members of his body in connection with him as the head. He compares it to a husband and his relationship with his wife. But I want you to notice the passage says Christ is the Savior of the body because he gave himself for the church. If he's the Savior of the body, the church, gave himself for the church, and if we understand that we can only be saved through his death, then how can we be saved without the church? He gave himself for the church, he's the Savior of the body, he died for the church, how can we be saved outside the church? Well, you see, that ties together all these other things we've been seeing. That he built his church, he adds the saved to it, Acts 2:47, he shed his blood for the church, Acts 20, verse 28. Now this is not saying, the point is not that the church saves us, that isn't it. The church doesn't save. Jesus saves us. But the point is, the saved are in the church. That's what the passage says. Jesus gave himself for the church. And furthermore, since a head only has one body, and a man scripturally can only have one wife, it follows that there's only one true church. Jesus is the head of his body, like a man is the head of his wife. Going back to Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And furthermore, we already read in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, where he talked about the one baptism, and the one faith, and the one God and Father, and also said there is one body. And then chapter 5, the body is the church. And so the unity that the Lord wants of his people requires all to be in one body, the church. That body that believes the one true faith. What that means then is the idea of many different religious groups, different denominations, believing and teaching contradictory doctrines with many different faiths, and they're all being approved of God. That idea is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says one faith, one body with one faith. And so Jesus' true church must seek unity and work for unity, and yes, recognizing that it does take work. That's not a matter. He said, strive to keep it. In chapter 5, chapter 4, it takes work. But we must not excuse division. We must not justify and say, well, it's all right if all these different groups exist and they all believe these different things. It's okay. No. Jesus' church must say, that's not right. That's not the way the Lord wanted it to be. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 20, there are many members, yet one body. As individuals are saved, the Lord adds them to his body, his church, one true body. Not a denomination, but simply the body of all saved people. So Jesus' church is not a denomination. Never was. Every denomination that men have made separates them from the body of Jesus Christ, because the body of Jesus Christ is one body. And division constitutes a separation from the body of Jesus Christ. The one body then teaches the one true faith, that people must believe, no human changes, including repentance, confession, and baptism, and so on. And then one last point. What about living a faithful life? When a person is baptized, all his past sins are forgiven. He comes into Christ. The Lord adds him to his church, the body of all saved people. But it's possible to go astray. It's possible to leave the truth and go into error. What are the consequences? We'll look at Matthew 28 and verse 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, where Jesus was teaching his apostles. He said in verse 18 that he had all authority, and he said in verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Notice, for all people of all nations, not only do they need to be baptized, verse 19, but as disciples, they need to be taught to observe all the things the Lord commands. Verse 20. So all disciples need to be taught to obey all that the Lord has commanded. We don't have the right to pick and choose. We don't have the right to say, yes, the Lord taught this, but I think it's okay to do this other way. We need to commit ourselves and be devoted to observing all things. And it doesn't matter what nation you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It's the same for everybody. All needs to obey what the Lord said. John 15 and verse 6, if anyone does not abide in Christ, Jesus said, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. They gather them and throw them into the fire and they're burned. You see it? Anybody's talking about it. Not just certain rules for certain people, no matter who you are. If you don't abide in Christ, you're cast forth. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 15, Christ died for all, that they should not live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. You see, when you understand Christ and who he is and the devotion and zeal that's expected of one who is a follower of Jesus Christ, you understand you must live your life for him. All Christians. It's not that some Christians need to obey. Some Christians need to do the things the Bible says, and others can do things differently from what the Bible says. That's not the way it works. All must live for him who died for them. If you understand that Jesus died for you and for all, and only by him can we be saved, then we need to understand only by doing what he says, only by living faithful lives can we be saved. Look in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. See how he repeats over and over again the danger of falling away, departing from the living God, and being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And so he said we must hold fast our confidence. Who is this talking to? Who is it that needs to hold fast and not depart? He says, any of you. Exhort one another, lest any of you be hardened. And so the principle that he's talking about here applies to everybody. Everybody who understands what we've been talking about becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, a member of Jesus' church, must also understand his responsibility to hold fast his confidence steadfast to the end. Continue to do right. If we fall away, then we have not remained in the benefit of the blood of Jesus Christ. 2 John verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So if we understand we can only be saved through Jesus Christ, we have to abide in Christ, in his teaching, which is found in the gospel. We have to remain in that, obey it, and continue in it, even after baptism. Now then, if we sin again, the Bible tells us, of course, we need to repent and confess our sins in prayer to God. But the point is that continuing to live a faithful life is a universal commitment, just like all these others. It's not that some people need to live faithfully and other people can be saved without living faithfully. The principle is the same for everybody. So again, have you been saved by the blood of Christ? Are you a member of his church and are you living faithfully? So what we've done in the study then is, we've looked at these 10 different teachings of the gospel, and all of them we have seen are required of all of us. And it follows then that there's only one way to salvation. And no, it's not true, as many people think, that there's lots of different ways, take your pick. There's one way. We must follow the gospel. That's why Romans 2, 6 through 11, the scripture reading, said that God does not show partiality. You see, if God allowed some people to be saved one way, and other people to be saved another way, that would be showing partiality. That would be being a respecter of persons. God is not partial, the passage says. Everyone who works good will receive eternal life. Those who do what are evil will receive tribulation and anguish. It's the same for all. No different sets of rules for different people. And so we close the lesson then with Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. How many ways are there to life? One way. There's one way to life. It's a narrow and difficult way, and few find it, but still there's one way, which is what we've learned in this study. Nobody has the right then to teach a different gospel. It follows that if you want salvation, you must follow according to the one way that leads to eternal life. Have you done that? Have you received forgiveness of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ according to His way, His teaching? Are you a member of His church? If you haven't done that, why not do it this morning? If you've done that and you're not living that faithful life, you need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever need you have, won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing.